The Easter New Testament reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Listen for the word of God now. Then Peter started speaking. I now truly understand that God does not show favoritism in dealing with people. But in every nation, the person who fears God and does what is right is welcomed before God. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, with respect to Jesus from Nazareth, that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and caused him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us, the witnesses God had already chosen, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to warn them that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. About him, all the prophets testify that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. It is the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Let us listen to God's holy word. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary of Magdala came with Mary to inspect the tomb. Suddenly there was a severe earthquake, and an angel of God descended from heaven, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. The angel's appearance was like lightning, with garments as white as snow. The guards shook with fear and fell down as though they were dead. Then the angel spoke, addressing the women. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, the one they crucified, who is no longer here. Jesus has been raised, exactly as it was foretold. Come and see. Come and see the burial place. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead and now goes ahead of you to Galilee. You will see Jesus there. That is the message that I have for you. The women hurried away from the tomb with awe and great joy and ran to carry the good news to the disciples. And suddenly, Jesus stood before them and said, Shalom. Shalom. The woman came up, embraced Jesus' feet, and worshiped. At this, Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell the disciples to go to Galilee, where I will see them there. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. So every year, about mid-November, Person after person starts asking me, "Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas?" You can hear the anxiety and the stress in their voice as November waxes on and December comes on. Now, my standard response to that question always is, Christmas always comes. Christmas always comes right on time. And it doesn't matter if I have all of my gifts bought and wrapped, doesn't matter if I've got them in the mail to ship them off to Maine, doesn't matter if I have put a wreath on my front door or put up a Christmas tree, which is really a good thing because the past 3 years I have not put up a Christmas tree. And Christmas still comes, right? And here's the big secret that I want you to hold on to, but not too tightly because I want you to share it, is that Easter comes just as much. No matter whether we are ready for Easter or not, no matter whether the snow has melted or not, or the sun decides to shine or not, doesn't matter if we got Easter eggs decorated, or we've got the ham already in the crock pot cooking, or the leg of lamb, it doesn't matter. Easter shows up. The other day, yesterday, my daughter sent me a text that said, Jesus isn't here yet, so take the day easy. And I said, well, it doesn't matter if Jesus is here or not. There's still a lot of disciples that have a lot of work to do. But Jesus will show up tomorrow morning as the sun comes. Easter comes no matter what. Easter comes today. Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Alleluia. And isn't this the familiar story? Isn't this the familiar story that is good for us today? As we are living our daily lives, set with our nerves on edge, wondering what is going to happen next, we have a story, a familiar story to remind us that even as we are gathered or scattered, we are in this building or somewhere on Facebook Live, wherever life has us at this very moment, we are all feeling the same thing, the joy of Easter with the fear of what might happen next. So this morning's story is it's the only story that has two Marys. So two of the stories have one Mary. One story has two Marys and one story has three Marys. Today we get the two Marys. As I said earlier this morning, no matter which Mary shows up, I think each and every one of us, males included, can in some way, shape, or form relate to one of the Marys out of the Bible. There's six or eight or whatever. You keep looking, they're in there, right? We can all relate to one of the Marys, so it doesn't matter which Mary it is that comes to the tomb. We are invited to stand there with her. But this morning, Mary Magdalene or Mary from Magdala and the other Mary go to the tomb. And it's been a really topsy-turvy kind of days, right? They've had the Last Supper, and they've gone to the garden to pray, and then Jesus is arrested, and he's tortured and beaten and hung, and then put into a grave that is not even his. And they don't have time to anoint his body because it's the Sabbath. And as the sun goes down, they're not allowed to do any work. So here they come on the first day of the week with another jar of ointment to anoint a body that has been laying in the ground for 3 days, or at least 48 hours, to show respect, to show love, to say one more goodbye to their rabbi, their teacher, their friend. It's a time when their senses are on high alert. And I think that we've all been in that space and place at some point in time. We know things about being on high alert and having our nerves frayed and not being able to do the things that we really, really in our hearts want to do because convention says that we can't do them right now. We're in a time when our senses are on alert. We are pulled to our limits. Mary and the other Mary are experiencing the very same things. They go not expecting resurrection, though. They go carrying their grief. They went with the weight of Friday still pressing hard on their hearts. They went with the memory of violence and injustice and of a world that had once again chosen fear over love. They went because love compels us to show up, even when hope feels buried. And if we're honest, like I said, I think that we all know something about that walk to the tomb. We know what it is to carry grief in the morning. We know what it's like to live in the shadow of Good Friday moments, moments when systems fail, when violence speaks loudly, when hope feels sealed behind stones. So we come this morning not as people who have it all figured out, not as people untouched by loss or fear, but people who, like the two Marys this morning, come looking, wondering, hoping against hope that they can show love one more time to their rabbi, to their teacher, to their friend. And it is there, at that tomb, that morning, this morning, that everything changes. Matthew's gospel tells us that there is a great earthquake. It is the only gospel story that has the great earthquake, that the earth actually shakes to move the stone. All the other stories, they get there and the stone's already rolled back, like they don't know what happened. So they go to the tomb and the earth is shaking and all, whoops, I've already read that part. And hasn't our earth shaken a lot? We feel those earthquakes. The ground itself is trembling. Creation cannot stay still in the face of what God is doing. An angel descended. Stones rolled back, and he just kind of sits up there on the top of the rock like, hey, good morning. Yeah, what you're looking to do here, you don't need to. You can go away. Jesus isn't here anymore. All right, just go on ahead to Galilee, go pick up the disciples, keep walking down the road, and you'll see Jesus along the way. You don't have to stay here. You don't have to. You can look if you want, but truly what I tell you is that Jesus has been risen. So he says, don't be afraid. Those words that we hear so often from angels, don't be afraid. And then he says, go and tell. But the don't be afraid not because everything is easy. The angel's not saying don't be afraid, not because suffering isn't real, not because the world has suddenly become safe and predictable. The angel says, do not be afraid because God is still at work. God was at work at that moment, and God is at work in this moment. The women are told, he's not here. He's been raised. He's gone. Not resuscitated. Not returned to the way that things were, but raised, transformed. God has done something new, not by avoiding death, but by going through it and beyond it. So here's a little side note that our Eastern Orthodox Christian friends will celebrate Easter next week. Their calendar is slightly different than ours, and they celebrate next week. So, and I've been thinking that there's something about the way that our Eastern Orthodox Christian friends celebrate Easter. Because we Western Christian people, we get to Good Friday, we grieve, we mourn, we hear the voices of the people that were there on that tragic day, and then we just lickety-split, we got Saturday gone, and we come and everything is bright and white and Christ has risen, and it's great. Our Eastern Orthodox Christian friends, their text is a text that we don't often touch on. Jesus goes to Hades and breaks the hinges of hell on those days, on Saturday, while we're all off doing something else. Jesus goes to Hades, breaks the hinges, and pulls out Adam and Eve. in essence, saving humanity and raising them up with him to whatever heaven looks like. So there's a step there that we gloss over. But Jesus comes in theirs and saves Adam and Eve, saves humanity. But it's also really cool if you start looking at some of the artwork, Western Christian artwork after, I don't know, a couple of centuries ago. It is Jesus all bright and shiny and white, glowing halos, auras. Our Eastern Orthodox artists still show his wounds. So if you ever see Jesus post-resurrection with his wounds, it's more likely an Eastern piece of art than a Western piece of art. Because we don't want to look at those wounds anymore. We want to gloss over the pain that Christ endured. So something to think about as a side story. It's another subject some other day. Because we are now still at the heart of Easter. But at the heart of Easter, it's not that death has not happened, it's that death does not win. And here's something else important about Easter. The first witnesses in all four stories are not about the powerful, not about the religious authorities, not the ones who have everything under control. It's the women. It's the women telling of their grief, the women with a jar of ointment just trying to show respect, grieving, faithful, present. And in a world that often dismisses their voices, God entrusts them to be the first proclamation of the resurrection. Go and tell. Go and tell. They become the first to share and proclaim the good news of Easter. And I think that matters a lot for the church. It matters for the United Church of Christ, where we affirm that God speaks through all people. So it doesn't necessarily have to be me up here sharing the Easter message. It's my job. I love it. I'm going to be here. But it's not up to me to do it by myself. We affirm that each and every one of you has the right and the authority to share the name and the love and the proclamation that Christ has risen. There is no hierarchy, there is no status, there are no exceptions to that. The resurrection begins not in the halls of power, but in the lives of the people who show up in love. Matthew tells us that the women then left with fear and great joy, with both fear and great joy. Not one replacing the other, but fear and joy intertwined. Because resurrection does not erase everything that came before. It transforms how we live within it. We know that feeling, don't we? We know what it is to hold joy and fear at the same time. Joy that love still lives. Fear because the world still trembles. Joy that hope breaks through, and fear because we are not sure of what comes next. Easter does not demand that we deny our fear. It meets us in it and speaks a deeper truth. Fear is not the end of the story. The women have been to the tomb. They have heard both, "Do not be afraid," as well as the "go and tell." Those Christmas stories that we heard, "go and tell, don't be afraid." So they start walking, and something even more remarkable happens. Jesus meets them on the road. He's not in the tomb, he's not in the place of death, but he is on the way. And he says to them, "Shalom, shalom, peace, hi, good day. I hope all is well with you." All those things that shalom can mean. So simple, so ordinary, an everyday word for them, yet so profound. And then, of course, he has to get in his "do not be afraid." Do not fear. They take hold of him. They praise him. It says they worship him. This is not abstract hope. This is not a metaphorical idea. This is an embodied encounter. They have met Christ, they have touched Christ, and they continue to go to tell. The risen Christ is meeting them in their movement, in their going, in their living. And that's where we find him too. Not just in sacred spaces, but on the road, in the work, in the showing up. We meet the risen Christ in our volunteering, in our mentoring, in our visiting, in our calling, in our helping, in our speaking up and speaking out. The living out of love in a world that so desperately needs it. So what does resurrection mean for us here and now? Here and now, it means that the stones we thought were immovable are not as final as we believed. It means that the systems of death, whether they show up as injustice, exclusion, violence, or despair, do not have ultimate power. It means that God is still rolling stones away and out of the way, even today, even here. Resurrection means that when we stand at the edge of what feels like an ending, God is already at work creating a new beginning. It means that when we feel like hope has been sealed off, God is already loosening the grip of that grave. It means that love, costly, vulnerable, persistent love, is stronger than we dare to imagine. But Easter is not just something that we celebrate. It is something that we are called to live. Go and tell, the angel says. Go and tell, Jesus repeats. This is not passive news. It is active, embodied, lived out, and lived in good news. We are called to be resurrection people. We proclaim that we are resurrection people. People who show up where there is grief. People who speak hope where there is despair. People who work for justice where there is oppression. People who embody love in a world that often forgets what love looks like. And let's be clear, resurrection work is not easy work. It will take us to places of discomfort. It will call us to challenge systems that benefit from keeping stones in place. It will invite us to trust that God's future is bigger than our fear. And we do not do this alone. Thanks be to God for that we do not do this alone. The same God who raised Jesus resides with us. The same Christ who met the women on the road meet us still. The same Spirit that shook the earth continues to move among us. So hear the good news this Easter morning. The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. Death does not have the last word. Fear does not have the final say. Love lives. Hope rises. Christ is with us on the road and in the work and in the life we are called to live. And so we go. Like those first two women, we go with fear and great joy. We go not because we have all the answers, but because we have encountered something that changes everything. We go because resurrection is not just behind us, it is unfolding all around us. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. I invite you, as you are able, body or spirit, to stand and lift your